Welcome to BibleBap.org and the Sermon Archive Ministry of Bible Baptist Church of Monroe, Georgia. For over 45 years, the Bible has been faithfully preached from the pulpit of Bible Baptist Church each week. 1 Corinthians 1:21 reminds us that it is by the preaching of the Word of God that men and women are saved. We trust you will be blessed and encouraged by the preaching ministry of our senior pastor, Greg Butler, the church staff, and guests who fill the pulpit at Bible Baptist Church. Let's open our Bibles now as God's Word is opened and preached to us.
Decree, the Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of opposition that's brought about by the nations, the aligning nations of the world. It is acting with ardent passion and desire against God Almighty. It is to be furious with anger. It involves intensity and emotion and extreme eagerness to go to war against God. That's what it's about. The aligning of the nations in rage. And you notice in the context of these verses, there is an allusion to a rolling and a roaring sea. This is a picture of nations of the world as they come together and they plot their strategy as to how they're going to put God out of the world and they're going to keep the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ from being declared to the world. They are like a foaming and a raging and a rolling sea. It suggests here the carrying out of an agenda. And that's what we have today. We have an agenda by unbelievers today to put God out of his world and to shut down the message of Jesus Christ and his redemption from sin. You notice in the latter part of verse number 1 going into verse number 2, the theme also, in addition to speaking of the rage here of those nations aligning themselves against God, to the rebellion of these nations. It says here, why do the people imagine a vain thing? The word vain, if you write in your Bible here, the word vain means an empty thing. Folks, all of the doctrines of the humanist, all of the doctrines of the anti-God, anti-Christ crowd are vain. They are empty. That's what they're going to come to when God is finished. Notice also that it tells us concerning the fact here. It says in verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves. The word set here in the Hebrew means they position themselves so as to stand fast for the purpose of resisting the Lord. It goes on to tell us in the middle of verse number 2, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his Christ. It's telling us here that the rulers of the nations are deliberating with each other regarding this purpose, this execution of the plan. You say, who are these people when it says, why do the heathen rage? It's worthy of writing in your Bible here. The word heathen refers primarily to the lost Gentiles. It refers here to those outside Israel, those who reject God, those who reject God's Son. It's talking about those of the anti-God movement. The scripture refers to them here as the heathen. It is Gentile nations here of unbelievers that are foreign to God. And you notice the fury here of these who oppose God. We noticed in verse number 1 the use of the word rage by the Holy Spirit. And in verse number 1, they imagine a vain thing. And in verse number 2, they set themselves, they position themselves to withstand or to resist God. And in verse number 2, they take counsel together. They deliberate in order to execute a plan or an agenda. Folks, many have tried this from the beginning of time. When you read in the book of Genesis of Nimrod. Remember Nimrod in Genesis chapter number 11? He had a plan that he was going to build a tower to heaven, that he was going to bypass God. He was going to engineer God off the scene. And we know how that came out. You read all through the scripture. You read about Nebuchadnezzar. You read about the Sanhedrin's plot with the Romans against Christ in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 25. And every plan against God has always been destroyed by God. God has always overcome his enemies. You see the focus here. It tells us here against the Lord and against his anointed. The word anointed that's used here in verse number 2 is a reference to the Lord Jesus. It is the same word that the Jews use for Messiah. It is the same word that's used for Christ. It tells us here, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, all capitals, it means Jehovah God, and against his anointed, that's his son, the Lord Jesus, saying, look this, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. You see, the focus here is against the Lord. It is against the Lord's Christ. You see the reason in verse number 3, the reasoning of the kings and the rulers. from our first father Adam and our first mother Eve. We're sinners. What do they say? They say, let's cast away their cords. Let's cast away that belief in the Bible. Let's cast away that belief in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's cast away that doctrine of the depravity of man. Let's cast away that doctrine of the blood atonement. You realize the average church hymnal today has taken out the songs about the blood of Christ? They don't sing, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. They don't sing that anymore. They say that's a slaughterhouse religion. They don't sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. They don't sing it anymore. They don't sing, would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood of the Lamb. And they say, let's cast away their cords from us. Doctrine of the bodily, physical, literal resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. They cast it out. The doctrine that Jesus is coming back again. As you've seen him go into heaven, so he shall come again in like manner as you've seen him go. And they cast away the cords. Do you understand why they've tried to put the Bible out of everything for the past 60, 70, 80 years? They're casting away the cords, the doctrines of God from us. The scripture is telling us here about those who align themselves among the nations in their rage and their rebellion and in their reasoning. Real quickly, there's a second major thing in verses 4 through 9. Don't miss this. And it is the answer of the Almighty. The answer of the Almighty. Verses 4 through 9 foretell the awful condemnation that awaits those nations, those leaders of those nations who aligned themselves against God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Verses 4 through 9 tell us here, it is pure folly to reject and rebel against the Almighty. All attempts to oppose him will be met with total failure. You see God's position in chapter 2 and verse, or Psalm number 2, verse number 4. It begins, he that sitteth in the heaven shall. Did you see his position there? Notice the same. Verses 1 through 3 tells us what goes on earth. What will be going on even in the last days on earth. But verse number 4 shifts the scene. But it tells us what's going on in heaven. It tells us God is in heaven. And while the anti-God, anti-Christ forces rage, the eternal God is sitting in heaven. And he's not moved. He's not disturbed. He's not hit the panic button. Say, oh, hey, God is not wringing his hands in heaven and saying, oh, they're making such a mess on earth. What am I going to do? No. The Lord's sitting in heaven. You see his peacefulness in verse number 4, latter part of the verse. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. The word derision, if you write in the Bible here, means simply God shall ridicule them. God shall mock them. God shall scorn them. You see God's peacefulness here. There's wild commotion on earth. There's the like the rolling of the sea as the leaders of this earth prepare to do battle with God Almighty. God's not disturbed. There's absolute calm in heaven. Verse number 5, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them. The word vex means literally to make afraid. The scripture says, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. What's he talking about? It's talking about when Jesus comes again. then gave he power to become the sons of God, even of them that believe on his name. And the Lord Jesus speaks here, verse number 8, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen. Who? That crowd in verse number 1 that was raging. They're like the tossing, the rolling of the sea. They're the ones that are conniving. They're getting ready to cast away the Lord's bands. They're getting ready to cast away the Lord's cords. They're going to do away with God in this world. They'll show God what they think of him. And Jesus said, ask of convicted of the Holy Spirit, we were lost. And somebody shared the good news that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might live with him in heaven forever. And we kiss the Son out of love for him and what he's done for us. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels song. He loved us before we loved him. And such love demands that we love him in return. The kiss here also is a symbol of worship. We worship. Folks, listen, if any among us receive a crown in heaven, we wouldn't keep the crown, because we'd have all these old blinders taken off our eyes, and we'd realize it's only because of Jesus that we're going to be in heaven. Any crown we'd receive, we'll take it off and we'll kneel at his feet. We'll say, Jesus, this belongs to you. This doesn't belong to me. I didn't earn this, Lord. It was grace. It was mercy. It was your love. And Lord Jesus, this crown is for you alone. Folks, we're going to honor the Lord. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to worship him. The scripture tells us here, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. It's an altar call to the lost. Come to Christ while the door of mercy is open, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. If you put your trust in the Lord Jesus, listen, you can't be a part of the solution to the problems of America until you get on the right side. You've got to know the Prince of Peace. You've got to know the Savior of the world. You've got to know him before you can contribute to the solutions that our nation needs. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, may I tell you this morning, you're among friends. You'll never go any place in this world when people are any more for you than they are in this place today. People, this week, have prayed, Lord, would you send some lost soul to the service this week that they might hear the good news that Jesus loves us and he died for us and he rose again, and that whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. You're among friends today. Will you trust Christ? Christians, will you take the burden